Then it will come to order. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Roll call for Friday, February 18th. Barnard.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns. Case.
Here.
Christensen. Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Driscoll.
Here.
Emmerich.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert. Hicks,
here.
Hines,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Johnson,
here.
Landon,
here.
Martin, Martin,
here.
Meyer,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nutting,
here.
Perkins, Peterson,
here.
Ross,
here.
Rothbus,
here.
Schiffer,
here.
Scott,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Anderson,
here.
Burns.
Here.
Christensen.
Excuse.
Perkins.
Excuse.
28 present, 2 excused.
Prayer by Richard Brown.
The inspirational thought this morning has to do with freedom and responsibility. The practice of self-responsibility begins with the recognition that I am ultimately responsible for my own existence, that no one else is here on earth to serve me, take care of me, or feel my needs. I am the owner of no one's life but my own. This means that I am willing to generate the causes of the effects I want. Self-responsibility entails my willingness to be accountable for my choices, my decisions, and my behavior. I take responsibility for thinking about the consequences of my actions and hold myself accountable for them as well. I am responsible to how I deal with other people, my spouse, children, colleagues, and associates. If I behave destructively towards them, I don't claim that they or anyone else made me do it. Self-responsibility implies my willingness to be accountable for the ideas and values by which I conduct my life. This entails intellectual independence and willingness to think for myself and to act by the judgment of my own mind. I learn from others, to be sure, but I do not grant others the authority over my consciousness to follow blindly where I do not understand or agree. If I accept the privilege of self-responsibility, I recognize that the achievement of my happiness is no one's task but my own. No one owes me happiness. I want the opportunity to share my happiness and find someone who will make me happy. Our Father, which art in heaven, we are grateful for this beautiful day. We're grateful that we have been granted the health and the strength necessary to be here to serve in the capacities that we have been called to serve. We pray for thy Spirit to be here with us this day in the decisions that we have to make. We are grateful for the work and the things we've been able to accomplish this week, and ask that as we conclude the week that we will be able to be forthright in our decisions and be able to make those decisions in a manner pleasing unto thee. We ask that thou will bless President Anderson as he conducts the affairs of this body today, that he will be guided and have the strength and the sound mind that he needs to conduct all the many things that are before us at this time. We are thankful for one another, for our colleagues, and for the ability and the opportunity to serve together. And we feel it is a privilege and a blessing to be able to do so and to work for the profit and benefit of the citizens of this great state. Be with us now throughout this day, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Will the reading clerk please read the Journal Committee report?
Mr. President, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February the 17th, 2011, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Nutting, Chairman.
Are there any objections? Being none, the report is adopted. Our doctor for the day is Dr. Robert Monger. Dr. Monger is from Cheyenne. Our nurse for the day, Jamie Matthews from Northwest Community College in Powell. And on this day in Wyoming history, in 1933, a bus driver was charged for hitting two horses in Thermopolis. On this day in U.S. history, in 1885, Mark Twain, pen name of Samuel Clemens, publishes his famous and controversial novel, The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn.
I'll go back and read that.
Yeah. Lauren, where's Lauren at? Lauren, would you like to come up to the guest mic, please? Not really. Lauren, for each of our pages, we like to offer a resolution from the Senate of the 61st Legislature. And this morning, we'd like to thank you for your service that you've performed while you've been down for the last 2 weeks. You know, and I guess I would say to you as a student, one of the things that I hope that you learn from us is, number one, is an appreciation for democracy. And I think you will see from the members on this floor how hard a person has to work in order to make democracy work. And so as you go out into life, and whether you become a constituent or if you've picked your spot out here, you'll understand how significant, how that important it is, and how, I think, significant in all the world that we work hard to make democracy work for the people. This then says it's with our appreciation that we recognize Lauren Sweeten for her outstanding dedication and support for the state of Wyoming on this day, the 18th of February, 2001. So we're looking forward to going forward and you getting good grades in school, and we hope that you can be a Hathaway Scholar as well. Thank you so much. Word has it that the majority floor leader has said if we work really hard today that he'll allow us to take Monday off. Messages from the House.
February the 17th, 2011, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed, amended. Mr. President, the budget bill listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. In accordance with Joint Rule 14-1, the bill is not engrossed and the adopted House amendments are being transmitted with the bill. House Bill Number 1, General Government Appropriations 2, ayes 50, noes 9, excused 1. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's the amendment.
Yeah. Messages, House bills on first reading. House Bill 1, first reading of the House bill, the budget bill.
House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
House Bill 1, pursuant to Joint Rule 14-1E, 1, House Bill 1 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. Bill's on second reading. House Bill 7, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 7, Wyoming Veterinarian Medical Practice Act 2, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
There are no amendments. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 8, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 8, Wyoming Traditional Food Act, sponsored by the Agriculture Committee.
No amendments? Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 8, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 20, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 20, Medicaid Reimbursement of Services, sponsored by the Select Developmental Committee.
There are no amendments. Seeing no discussion, House Bill 20, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 50, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 50, Health Insurance Exchanges, sponsored by the Labor Committee.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask the clerk to read in second reading amendment number 1. This time.
House Bill 50, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Scott, would you like to move and speak to the amendment, please?
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. This is to House Bill 50, the bill on the insurance exchanges. If you recall the discussion from Committee of the Whole, we did some language changes to accommodate the switch made in the House to a more of a legislative committee. It turns out that we missed three of the places where we needed to insert the language and the task force, and this amendment corrects that oversight. The other thing it does is it puts the appropriation in this into a Section 2, the way we typically do things. And, Mr. President, that's all the amendment does. It is basically a technical correction. I urge the Senate to adopt it.
Questions? Further discussion? Seeing none, question is regard to second reading amendment number 1. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. Any further discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 50. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 80, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 80, Service of Process in Family Violence and Stalking Cases, sponsored by Representative Davidson.
There are no amendments. Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 80, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 81, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 81, Vacant Land, sponsored by Representative Dave Zwanitzer.
On this bill? Okay. There are some amendments. I understand that there's some amendments being distributed for House Bill 81. We will go ahead and start with the first amendment, and I would call it your attention to other amendments being distributed at this time. Would the clerk read second reading amendment number 1 at this time?
House Bill 81, second reading amendment number 1 to engrossed copy, page 2 after line 2.
Senator Meyer, would you like to speak to this first amendment?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 81 and ask for the body's favorable consideration. This is a discussion we had on Committee of the Whole. What this does is make this particular statute match up with, I believe it's our subdivision statutes, where that acreage is at 140 I think the intent is clearly the same intent in which the committee had it, and it says less than 140 acres, and so that gets it into the basically your quarter section and takes into account that the earth is round and the maps are square.
Any discussion? Questions? Senator Case? Okay, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think this is a great amendment. The whole purpose was to establish some upper limit where a buyer would be sophisticated and wouldn't need all the disclosures because they'd be looking at a very large parcel and that'd be a big amount of money and they'd be sophisticated and be able to handle that. So this is fine, Mr. President. I think it's a good amendment.
Other discussion? Question then. First reading amendment. Second reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 81. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed, no. That amendment is passed. I would ask the chief clerk then, does that dispense with all the amendments on this bill? All right. There are no other amendments. We're then back on the bill. House Bill 81. Seeing no discussion, House Bill 81 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 88, first or second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 88, the Vice Minister, sponsored by Representative.
House Bill 88, Guides and Outfielders, sponsored by Representative McComey.
I don't see any amendments. Don't see any discussion. House Bill 88. Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 99, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 99, Substance Abuse Treatment Funding Award, sponsored by Representative Gingery.
No amendments? Any discussion? Seeing none. House Bill 99, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 158, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 158, Rule Against Perpetuity, sponsored by Representative Brown.
There is an amendment, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read in that amendment at this time.
House Bill 158, second reading amendment number 2. Delete the Scott second reading amendment.
Senator Nicholas, would you like to speak to this, please?
Yes, Mr. President. I move that amendment, number 2. And, ladies and gentlemen, I talked to the sponsor, the original sponsor of the bill, and looked at the language and studied the solution that was proposed on a couple days ago. And while that solution was an artful way of trying to solve the problem, it seems to me there's a more direct, simple solution to this problem, and that is the notion that mineral interests are not real property, I think, is an absurd proposition. And what we do in this is strike the word mineral. So we delete the last amendment, strike the word mineral, and make it clear that interest in corporations are what they are. But minerals are part of real estate. They're part of real property. The rule of perpetuity should apply to minerals as well as the surface estate. I think it's that simple. We don't want to have minerals tied up in trust so that they cannot be managed, developed for future generations. And it was a mistake in the first instance to carve minerals out as something other than real property, and we just simply correct that mistake. I'd urge you to support the amendment.
Any other conversation, questions, discussion? Senator Scott, would you like to speak to this, please?
Mr. President, I would express a degree of concern then that what we've done with this and the previous enactment is enable real property to be tied up almost in perpetuity through the device of simply putting it into a corporation. And I'm concerned this amendment does not adequately deal with that concern. and that we're running some risks, and the longer we run the risk, the more likely we are to find we've had some blocks of property locked up permanently where we, you know, our successors will not be able to deal sensibly with what's happening, and that we're really defeating the original purpose of the rule against perpetuities. And I'd appreciate some discussion of that and whether we need to have a different approach on third reading, trying to deal with that problem, because I think that's present both in this bill and the law, that underlying law that we passed a couple years ago that it seeks to amend.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess on an ambivalent with respect to the amendment, the when we talk about mineral interests, when we talk about mineral interests, you know, and I think that the good senator from Albany County makes a good distinction. Mineral interests can be your mineral interests. It can be your rights in sand or gravel. It can be hydrocarbon interests. But it also, what we've defined is, we cite royalty interests. Overriding royalties are considered to be mineral interests and real property for other purposes. So are working interests. So there's a number of interests that in Wyoming we consider to be real property, and when we talk about those mineral interests, I think we're pulling those inside this as well. And so when we talk about mineral interests, maybe it should be, you know, I think that ultimately the question would be in the policy decision is the actual mineral interests themselves, the underlying subsurface estate, should that, is that real property that should be included or included within the grasp of the rule against perpetuities, or should be able to be moved outside of it? And then there's probably, I think the good senator from Albany County makes a great point that those actual subsurface estate rights, probably, you know, they're probably, it doesn't make a lot of sense to distinguish that and hold that different than the surface estate or the land itself. But with respect to working interests and royalty interests, which are basically, royalty interests are more like an income stream, but nevertheless we've called them real property, and I think they're deemed to be mineral interests. So when we do that, it's a very broad brush that whether it's in or whether it's out, it's a very broad brush. And so as we move forward to third reading, I think that ultimately that if this amendment goes forward, we need to refine that probably a little bit more going into third reading. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on this amendment? Any further questions or discussion for the sponsor? Go ahead, Senator Nicholas, take your final.
Thank you, Mr. President, and all great questions. You know, when we talk about corporations, limited liability companies, the ability of a trust then to acquire the stock, and then effectively, while the trust doesn't have the mineral estate, the corporation does, that's really not much different than a family that's got a family corporation with a ranch, and they just make sure that each generation acquires the stock. My view of it is that while there may be evils that we want to prevent, there is always another way to skin the cat. There's, no matter how big you build the mousetrap, somebody will find another way to do it. And the most simplest way to address it for this purposes at this time, this day, is just go back to basics. And that is for as long as the state has existed, the rule of perpetuities is applied to all real estate, including minerals and surface right. And let's begin with that point. Let's leave it the way it was, keep it that way. There was a purpose for that. It's clean. It's simple. If we can come up on third reading with some ways to carve out mineral interest, but frankly, I think you just, or not mineral interest, but revenues off of mineral interest. So you can say, well, I'll take my rents and profits and put the rents and profits into a trust. It seems to me we're getting too complicated. For many, many years, we've done very well by just having a simple rule of perpetuities for all real property. Minerals are real property, and it's a simple solution. I urge your support.
The question before us is in regard to second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 158. All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
I think we'll have a standing vote on that. That's pretty close. All those in favor, please stand.
Well, change the mind. I believe that gets it. All the second reading amendment has passed.
That's right.
House Bill 217, second reading of the House Bill. Oh, I'm sorry. I did not read in the passage. I read the amendment passing. House Bill 158, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, House Bill 158.
House Bill 217, Production State Agreement, sponsored by Representative Lubnow.
There are no amendments. House Bill 217, is there any discussion? Seeing none. House Bill 217 having been read two separate times. Question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. House Bill 246, second reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 246, National Guard Disposal of Land, sponsored by Representative Qualberg.
Any discussion? Seeing none, House Bill 246, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senator Jennings?
Mr. President, may I have privilege of the floor?
You may.
Mr. President, behind you, and not lurking, are the group of Wyoming Federation of Republican Women. These ladies are visiting the Capitol today for their legislative meeting, and they're represented by President Darlene Vaughn from Lander, Vice President Jen Anderson from Cheyenne, and one of Casper's best, Bonnie Foster. Mr. President, I think they're down here plotting on what to tell us what to do here, but let's welcome them anyway.
Welcome, ladies, and if, in fact, what Senator Jennings said is true, we do, in fact, need all the guidance we can get. Mr. Majority, floor leader, we're ready for those bills on third and final passage. Do we have a consent list?
Mr. President, third reading consent list for today is as follows. House Bill 5, University Revenue Bond Supplemental Coverage. House Bill 28, Child Protection Shelter Care and Initial Hearings. House Bill 37, State Archives Storage Study. House Bill 63, Subdivisions Water Study. House Bill 69, Prescriptions for Marijuana Invalid. House Bill 110, Successor Corporation Asbestos-Related Liability Act 2. House Bill 111, Public Works and Contracts 2. House Bill 143, Manufacturing Tax Exemption. House Bill 153, Agricultural Gas Tax Refund Program. House Bill 157, Abolition of Worthier Title Doctrine. House Bill 159, Uniform Trust Code Amendments. And House Bill 160, Management Audit Committee Subpoena Power.
Would anyone like any of the bills removed from the consent list? Senator Rothfuss.
House Bill 110, Mr. President.
House Bill 110 has been removed. Any other requests for removal? Seeing none. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? House Bill 5, House Bill 28, House Bill 37, House Bill 63, House Bill 69, House Bill 111, House Bill 143, House Bill 153, House Bill 157, House Bill 159, and House Bill 160. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Christensen.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Driscoll.
Aye.
Emmerich.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert.
Aye.
Hicks.
Aye.
Hines.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Martin.
Aye.
Meyer.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
Aye.
Schiffer.
Aye.
Scott.
Aye.
Von Flatern.
Aye.
President Anderson.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. House Bill 5, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 5, 30 ayes. House Bill 28, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 28, 30 ayes. House Bill 37, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 37, 30 ayes. House Bill 63, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 63, 30 ayes. House Bill 69, are there any changes? Rothfuss, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Hastert, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 69, 27 ayes, 3 noes. House Bill 111, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 111, 30 ayes. House Bill 143, are there any changes? Burns, aye to no. Schiffer, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 143, 26 ayes, 4 noes. House Bill 153, are there any changes? Rothfuss, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 153, 29 ayes, 1 no. House Bill 157, are there any changes?
Jennings, aye to no.
Meyer, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Dockstader, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 157, 26 ayes, 4 noes. House Bill 159, are there any changes? Meyer, aye to no.
Jennings, aye to no.
Dockstader, aye to no. Case, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 159, 26 ayes, 4 noes. House Bill 160, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. House Bill 160, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 5, House Bill 28, House Bill 37, House Bill 63, House Bill 69, House Bill 111, House Bill 143, House Bill 153, House Bill 157, House Bill 159, and House Bill 160 have passed the Senate. Other bills on third reading. House Bill 13, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 13, Hathaway Success Curriculum 2, an act relating to education, sponsored by the Education Committee. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are a couple of amendments. Would the reading clerk please read in the third reading First Amendment?
House Bill 13, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 5 before line 1.
Senator Cole?
Yes, Mr. President, I would move amendment number 3. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 13. This is just a technical correction that the staff found, and I'd ask that you support the amendment.
Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor of third reading amendment number 1, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. There is a second amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
House Bill 13, third reading amendment number 2, page 1, line 2.
Senator Von Kladen, would you like to speak to the amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 13. This goes to the Schiffer amendment from yesterday and goes to, at the end of it, which was inserted on page 5, at the end of the double I on his amendment, where he says, where the amendment says the department shall waive any requirement for success curriculum coursework if, upon receipt of written certification by the superintendent of a district, that any required coursework was not made available by the district to a student. This is great. It's a great way to allow for the waivers for the small districts, and I could see even some larger districts having just that many children, they can't get them in time for their graduation. And I admire what the amender did yesterday by putting in the superintendent in this process. And so what my amendment does is go in there and say that not later than September 1st of each year, the department shall report to the Joint Ed Interim Committee any waiver granted under this section for the immediately preceding school year, just so we know if these waivers are, there's a pattern developing, there seems to be an issue, particularly in one school or many schools. Maybe there's a good reason if one school uses it a lot. We understand that, but maybe not. Maybe there's a pattern going on we should look at. So I ask for your favorable vote on this amendment.
Discussion? Question? Senator Cole?
Now, we had quite a discussion yesterday, and I can tell you that I think we're sincere about wanting to know if we provide equal opportunity for access to Hathaway. And the concerns of the small schools out there, and we put that amendment on, I thought it was a good amendment. If we aren't providing the equal opportunity, we want to fix it. And so I think this is a good way to find out if we're going to fix it right or not.
Other discussion? Seeing none, the question before us then is in regard to third reading amendment number 2, House Bill 13. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. That amendment has passed. We are now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Yes, Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just a question for the chairman of the Education Committee. And I had quite a discussion this morning with a person up in my community about the fact that with this kind of language, using the and then the or on the top line of those scholarships, that you might be taking away the opportunity for some of those that want to do more in the science and math area. And I know there's a lot of credits out there, and I'm just wondering if you've had any discussion or heard any concerns about this particular area where you will be. In fact, if a person wanted to do that scholarship, wanted to take more science and math courses, they will be limited by the language and or.
Senator Coe?
Well, Mr. President, that's a very good question, and I think we have to keep our eye on the rabbit just a little bit here, because if you look at what happened to us, the JEC in the interim, tremendous pressure from the fine arts community, tremendous pressure from the career tech people, also tremendous pressure to maintain the rigor that we have with 2 years of a foreign language. That's why you see the bill as it is today. Now, if you look at the average number of credits out there for 4 years in high school, it's about 32, is about average. Hathaway Success Curriculum, with the 2 years of language only, absorbs about 17 credits out of the 32. This conceivably could increase that to 19 out of the 32 and still leaves 13 credit hours out there to pursue other interests that you might want to take with courses. So I appreciate the question. Remind everybody, this is a scholarship program. You don't have to take the Hathaway Success Curriculum. This is a scholarship program, not an entitlement program. And I hope that helps to answer the questions. I think we've got the bill right now where we pretty much have made almost everybody happy. Not everybody, but almost. So I'd ask that you support the bill.
Are we ready for the question? House Bill 13, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Emmerich?
Aye.
Esquivel?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Nick Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Rothfuss?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 29 ayes, 1 no.
House Bill 13, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 13 has passed the Senate. House Bill 74, third reading of the House Bill.
House Bill 74, Validity of Marriage, and Act Relating to Marriage, sponsored by Representative Peterson. Be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are some amendments, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read in third reading amendment number 1, House Bill 74 at this time.
House Bill 74, third reading amendment number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 4.
Senator Meyer, would you like to move and speak to this amendment, please?
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this is just a little cleanup. As the bill stands now, it says that Wyoming recognizes as valid marriage contracts entered into foreign jurisdictions between a man and a woman. So it just cleans up the first page of the bill, and I ask for your favorable consideration.
Senator Meyer, I'm not sure that you did move that amendment. Why don't
I apologize,
move that?
Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 74 and ask for your favorable consideration.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or questions in regard to this amendment? All those in favor of this amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has passed. There is another amendment, the second amendment, and I'd ask that amendment be read in at this time.
House Bill 74, third reading amendment number 2 to engross copy. Delete the Meyer second reading amendment.
Senator Driscoll, would you like to move this amendment and speak to it, please?
Mr. Chairman, I would move for the third reading amendment number 2. This amendment simply makes it where what is legal everywhere is legal here. It doesn't create any new rights within the state. It is merely to make the state of Wyoming recognize existing rights as other states do for us. I stand for that.
Further discussion in regard to this amendment, Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. What is legal everywhere?
I think that's maybe overstepping the representation of the what is legal everywhere, just by a little bit. We have no domestic or legal civil union statutes on our books, and frankly, this is a discussion for another time, another place, and another bill. and it's not for discussion in this bill, Mr. President, and I ask for you to vote no.
Any other discussion in regard to this amendment? Senator Rothfuss.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd urge the body to vote yes on this. It's true that we have some difficulties right now with regard to civil union law and the fact that we don't have any extensive civil union law in the books. But what happens as a result of that is that you have a broken bill in front of you with regard to House Bill 74, and that's the reason that this particular amendment is being brought forward. It's true that it probably would have been better to have a more thorough, a better investigated approach to civil unions as we brought House Bill 74 forward. But unfortunately, here we are in third reading, and what we see ahead of us if House Bill 74 passes without this amendment in place is potentially at least a year ahead of us where there is no standing for these individuals that have civil unions in other states that are coming to the state of Wyoming. We heard extensive testimony on this floor the other day of the possible difficulties that people would face if they came to the state of Wyoming. So much, in fact, so many difficulties that we had a proposal to put a sign up as we entered the state warning individuals that were coming to the state of Wyoming that perhaps they should turn around if they had, in fact, a civil union. Now, while that amendment didn't pass, it certainly raises a consideration and a concern that we have. What this amendment does, and I think it does it very well, is indicate that while Wyoming clearly at this point in time seems to want to recognize a marriage, the word marriage, as only being between a man and a woman. We've already got that in statute, and that's the position that this body seems to want to move forward and that House Bill 74 accentuates. We still need to know what to do with regard to civil unions. And I've heard on this floor, in debate not just on this bill but another bill, that this body wants to support civil unions. I keep hearing that. I keep hearing people say, well, let's get a civil union bill. Let's get a civil union bill. Unfortunately, Mr. President, we don't have time right now to get a full-fledged civil union bill and introduce that to the floor. So what we're doing, the good senator from the northeastern part of the state and myself, is trying to come up with a way that we can have a legal remedy. And the way we've chosen to have that legal remedy is to maintain the fact that in Wyoming, a marriage, according to House Bill 74, is still going to be between a man and a woman, but that we're going to recognize the civil unions from out of state. This language clearly indicates that those individuals, if they're entered into a lawful marriage in Wyoming or another state, commonwealth, territory, district, or possession of the United States or a foreign nation, shall be entitled to the legal obligations, responsibilities, protections and benefits afforded or recognized by the laws of Wyoming to married persons and spouses. Mr. President, we're not indicating that that's a marriage. We're not saying that Wyoming is recognizing that as a marriage, but we are saying that from a legal standpoint, we're going to recognize that as being an equivalent to a marriage because we have to have some sort of legal standard. We can't just say your contract is void when you enter the state of Wyoming. We hope you come up with some idea of how to treat your kids from a legal standpoint. We hope you have some idea of how to have hospital visitation rights, how to treat the contract that you had in terms of your legal obligations from another state. We can't just let this sail into the wind, Mr. President, and hope that a solution presents itself. We have to give the courts something that we legislate that they can interpret to understand what happens to these individuals from out of state when they come to the state of Wyoming. And, Mr. President, I would say to you that this does that very well, and I believe it's consistent with what I've been hearing from the Senate in recent weeks regarding the fact that while we might not want as a body to recognize marriage in the state of Wyoming other than from a man and a woman or between a man and a woman, we do want to recognize the legal standing that other individuals would have and respect them with equality in the state of Wyoming, Mr. President. So I would certainly urge adoption of this amendment, this very good amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask the president or the chair to make a ruling on germaneness of this particular amendment. The bill before you is validity of marriages, and the purpose or the guts of the amendment is on lines 26 through lines 32. And it seems to me that it's not germane to the validity of marriage.
Mr.
Senator Case, go ahead and repeat that, please.
Speaking to the question raised by the good senator with regard to the germaneness, Mr. President, I would argue that it is germane. The original bill actually did contain language dealing with the validity of civil unions, and that was, of course, in the language H that was removed on our first day. You can see that in the original bill. So the topic has been ripened. It's a subject, and the bill title talks about validity. This is certainly within that scope, Mr. President, and I would urge you to rule it as germane.
I do believe that the bill or that the amendment is germane. And Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment. Mr. Chairman, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's probably a duck. In this case, if you have a domestic or other civil legal union other than a marriage lawfully entered into in Wyoming or another state, well, first of all, you can't have a domestic or a civil legal union lawfully entered into the state of Wyoming. Or if it's by any other state or any other nation, then it's the same as marriage. So if it's got all the rights and privileges and benefits of marriage, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck, then it's a duck. If it has all the rights and privileges of marriage, then it is a marriage. Flies directly in the face of both existing statute and the bill itself that says that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I ask you to vote against the bill, or against the amendment. Thank you.
Other discussion or questions but either of the sponsors like to raise second time? Senator Roth, let's go ahead.
Mr. President, on the point from my colleague from the Chona County, I realize the duck analogy, and we hear the duck analogy quite a bit, but if this body and the statutes of the state of Wyoming have indicated, without any exception or any question, that a marriage cannot be between a man and a woman, then that, Mr. President, in and of itself should suffice to indicate that a civil union, even if it is equivalent from a legal standpoint in terms of the rights and access to court that they have, cannot be a marriage. That would be against the law. So what we have here, Mr. President, is we have a situation where it is not a legal contract between a man and a woman. We've defined that under any circumstance that would not be a marriage. So, Mr. President, I'm not particularly worried about the duck analogy. I think this is still a good amendment that solves the legal problems we have without necessarily violating the intent and the purpose of the law of Wyoming.
Well, I'm going to allow Senator Nicholas to go for his first time, and then when we've gone around, we'll give you your last and final opportunity, Senator Driscoll. Is that okay? Go ahead, Senator Nicholas, first time.
Thank you, Mr. President. You know, I'm not a big fan of the bill, but with respect to this amendment, the concern I have, and that is this, is we know our friends and that are in these civil unions. Frankly, I'm not sure that in all instances the civil unions are the same as a marriage, nor is their expectation that they would be the same as a marriage in all instances. And so as we try to chart our path through these waters, we do need to be careful, and that is that if you have people that are in civil unions or domestic unions that were created in other states and there were rules defining what the relationship was, to now carry them into the state and say, whatever your agreement was, now we're going to treat it in Wyoming just as though it was a marriage, I'm not sure that that would be consistent with what, in all instances, the agreement for the civil union was. And so I just raise that as a question, because to say that whatever your civil union was, whatever the terms of the agreement were in the other state, when you come here, we're going to define it, we're going to resolve the disputes the same as it were a marriage, I'm not sure if that would be consistent in all instances with what their agreement was.
Any other questions or discussion before this sponsor takes his final turn? Go ahead, Senator Bernard.
Mr. President, as I read this amendment, it would force us as a state to recognize any civil union coming that might be legal in some other country, but that civil union might not be legal in this country. For that, I would speak against this amendment.
Thank you. Other questions? Senator Case, go ahead.
Mr. President, I stand kind of confused myself, but the issue here is a marriage different than a civil union? And if right now, as the bill stands, as it was amended in second reading, it only talks about marriage. So we're going to have the question of what if somebody comes in with a piece of paper that says civil union? This proposes one way to resolve it. But I suggest the duck, duck, duck analogy doesn't really fit because it seems clear that with the amendment that was offered yesterday, we just have a bill that talks about marriage. And, you know, what will we do when someone walks in and their piece of paper says this is a civil union and they want access to our courts? And I don't know the answer.
Other questions or discussion before their sponsor takes his final opportunity? Seeing none, I guess, Senator Driscoll, your final opportunity.
I encourage you to go ahead and vote on this. The truth is, the way the bill stands, it does not work. It does not solve any problems and creates more problems. And I would really encourage you to look at the amendments to do an attempt at fixing the bill. Thank you.
Question? Question being called. Question before us in regard to third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 74. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
That amendment has failed. Division being called. All those in favor of this amendment, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. That amendment has failed, and before we go to this next amendment, Mr. Minority Floor Leader Hastert. Yeah, as soon as I get your mic on here, there we go.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Members of the Senate with us today, and I hope they're still around, throughout the gallery,
is Leadership Wyoming 2011. There's 44 members of this class, and I can tell you that I know that sitting on this body and on the floor here, myself, my classmates, Senator Bebout, Senator Von Flattern, Senator Johnson, and Senator Perkins, are all alumnus of Leadership Wyoming. 2011 class is in and going about Cheyenne. They're here to I think, for their government class. They're going to be around throughout the day and through tomorrow. It was a fabulous experience for myself. Senator Bebout and I had the opportunity to be in the first class. We had the pleasure of with Senator Barrasso, Nancy Friedenthal, and a few others. It's a wonderful experience. I would encourage you to take a look at it. And if you have the opportunity, it gives you a great look at the state of Wyoming, learning about yourself and about what makes Wyoming tick a little bit better. So let's welcome the 2011 Leadership Wyoming.
Well, welcome, future leaders, and I assure you there's plenty of work to be done. We are now back on the bill, and we are now ready for our third amendment on third reading, and I'd ask that the reading clerk read in third reading amendment number 3.
House Bill 74, third reading amendment number 3, to engross copy. Delete the Meyer second reading amendment.
Senator Driscoll, would you like to address this amendment, please?
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move for the amendment number 3 to House Bill 74. This is actually, for all the last arguments we just had, this does fixes an awful lot of what you talked about. This gets access to the court system. At a bare minimum, we're going to have it where you don't leave a group of people that are truly left out there with no access to any type of legal remedies of anything they have. And If any of you can ever imagine being in a place where you don't have access to somebody to help settle your disputes, it's pretty tough. I'd encourage you to vote for it.
Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President. A question of the sponsor, and I, as I read this language, and I think I understand it, that we're going to allow these rights to people that are in another state, commonwealth, territory, district, so on and so forth. My question is, are we setting up a situation where we treat those outside differently under existing law than we treat those in our own state? And if we do, then I'm not sure that's what we want to do. And if we don't, I'd like to have you explain to me why not.
Other questions before the sponsor responds to that? Let's go to Senator Scott. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, and I have a question. I can see where this amendment solves the problems where there's a dispute and they need to get into court and get it resolved. One of my concerns in this bill is, suppose you have a couple coming through and they get into a wreck, say out in I-80, or somebody has a heart attack, and one of the partners winds up in one of our hospitals. And the question is, does the other partner have any standing, and will the hospital recognize them, give them any standing in making health care decisions and things like that? And does this amendment, yeah, it solves the court problem, but it does it do anything for that problem?
Other questions or discussion? Senator Meyer.
Thank you. A couple of questions I would have, I guess, is looking at it, you have the amendment starts off with parties, and parties in all regards, and the question would be, is that parties to any type of a dispute, do they have redress at the courts in property issues and in other issues? Necessarily, I believe they do, and I'd like to say that find out whether parties in property disputes or other disputes that may arise, whether there is no redress at the courts. I think the good senator from Natrona County did speak about the issues of visitation in the hospital. What are the current statutes on the books right now that actually provide for that, that are in all regards? I think the good senator from Albany County can touch on some of these different issues. But looking at it, I guess, on and against the amendment from the standpoint that this is something that, again, this is a discussion for another time and another place. It's not for a discussion on third reading in the second house. This is really the wrong time to have this type of discussion and to change this bill in such a drastic manner from its original intent.
Other questions for the sponsors before either one takes their chance? Go ahead, Senator Landon.
Well, Mr. President, with great respect to my friend at the back of the room, I think it's entirely appropriate that we have all the discussion that we need on this bill because it is of some consequence. And I know that it has lit up these computers that we have. So I do think it's appropriate. And frankly, the problem that I've had with this bill all the way through is the fact that we seem to want to stick our heads in the sand with regard to a whole lot of Wyoming citizens out there.
And we are on the
end. And I will say on this amendment, Mr. President, thank you. I will say on this amendment, Mr. President, that at least we are attempting to address the fact that I'm not sure this population does have access to the courts. That's the problem I've had with this bill and with at least this amendment. I'd like to hear a little bit more from some of the legal minds in our chamber, but frankly, on and for the amendment, I think it at least clarifies that people have access to our courts. Thank
you. Another discussion on the amendment. I'm going to go to Senator Burns and Senator Jennings later, and then we'll get back to the two sponsors in finality here. Let's go ahead, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, on and for the amendment. Mr. President, this is, I guess, to address a few things. The idea of a large change coming on third reading
on a bill shouldn't affect this body at all. Keep in mind that the Hathaway Scholarship came on a third reading amendment a few years ago. And it had been the big aspect of it did. But more to the point and more to the amendment, this is basically an impractical bill. We already have it on the books that a marriage consists of one man, one woman. This doesn't really change that much. But what this amendment does do is it opens up the door to the recognition of other states and other entities of what they do. And Mr. President, my view here is a practical view. Many of the bills that we're dealing with here deal with economic development, trying to get large foreign companies sometimes to come in here and put in large plants, large data centers, large mega data centers. Many of these large corporations have civil union aspects within their corporate charters. Now, those people who are taking advantage of those may never step inside the state of Wyoming, but the fact is they have corporate policies that allow for that. And what we could be doing by not passing this amendment is basically isolating ourselves from these corporations even considering the state of Wyoming, just by looking at our laws. If we do recognize that other states and other countries and other territories have civil unions and that we do allow access to our courts, I think that moots any cancellation of the consideration of Wyoming within those corporate policies.
Senator Jennings was up, and then I'm going to go to Senator Nicklaus. Senator Jennings, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. President. I haven't heard where any of these people have been denied from the courts in Wyoming. And if anybody here has, it'd be nice to know about what grounds they were denied to go to a court with a contractor or union or whatever, however they came into the state. And the mention of the hospitals, I recently visited one of our members, former members, that had surgery and was ICU, and all I did was pick up the phone and say, can I come visit my friend? And they said, sure, come on in. And there was no question of who I was, what the relationship was. So I'm a little bewildered when we keep throwing these what-ifs on the table. Do they really exist? And my question is if we're going to open a new avenue in law that doesn't exist. I mean, this is for people coming into the state from another area, and this piece of law is not there now, so we're actually describing something that doesn't exist. So I think we ought to be against this amendment and go forward with the bill.
Senator Rossus, you haven't had your first time, so go ahead. I think you've tried for a couple times here. Then we'll go to Senator Nicklaus.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I wanted to address the point in particular that was just made by my good colleague from Natrona County. He was concerned that we haven't seen any denials yet. Well, Mr. President, I can tell you the reason we haven't seen any denials yet is because we haven't voided out-of-state legal contracts yet. We've got a bill in front of us, Mr. President, that is the cause that we're looking for a solution for. So it's true. We haven't seen a lot of problems yet with this because House Bill 74 isn't done yet, but, Mr. President, I would say that once it goes into effect and we stop recognizing legal contracts from other states when they come into our state, that's when we have the problems that could seek redress through the courts if we allowed them to and used this clarifying language, which, Mr. President, is the reason that I'm on and for this amendment. If we don't have this explicit and we don't recognize the legal standing of these relationships or these contracts because we're voiding them as they come into the state, then they don't necessarily have access to the courts. Now, there was another concern that was raised by the taller colleague from Natrona County about the fact that there might not be, how do they have access to hospitals? How is this going to happen? Well, I would say, Mr. President, at that point, that was what we were trying to address with the previous amendment. And the regrettable answer is, there is no redress. This does not take care of that. You would have to somehow sue through the courts for access or contract rights to go to the hospital to exercise the rights that you might have through a living will. which addresses some of the previous points. It's true you have hospital visitation rights to some degree, regardless of who you are, but most hospitals have special family rights for visitation. But furthermore, living wills and other types of contracts like that, or just the consent to treat, the kinds of care that you give, if you void the contract between two spouses, then, Mr. President, you have a very difficult problem in determining who is legally responsible for the individual that might be unconscious at that time. And that's what this was originally in the First Amendment seeking to clarify. So this new amendment is simply a baby step towards that. It's certainly insufficient. It does not go anywhere near as far as it needs to address all of the concerns, but it definitely takes a step down that road. So, Mr. President, I would say that this amendment does not go far enough. But if we're going to void all of the contract obligations between two people that are coming into the state of Wyoming from another state, we at least have to give them access to the court so that they can try and establish a settlement for those rights or fit it into our system, and that's what this does. And finally, regarding the third reading concern, this bill establishes effectively a legal train wreck. What it's going to do is void contracts from other states, which is establishing some brave new territory that won't be handled. And what we're hearing about the third reading concerns is, well, it's too late to do that, and maybe we should have a bill later. But what that's doing effectively is kicking the ball down the road a year and saying we're perfectly willing to create a legal nightmare for the next year so that we have sufficient time to talk about how to solve that nightmare. And what I would say, Mr. President, is that the better solution, if we see this legal nightmare on the horizon, would probably be to vote down House Bill 74, regardless of the outcome of the amendment, under those same premises. Thank you, Mr. President. Again, on and for the amendment.
I'm going to go to Senator Nicholas. He's tried several times to get in the conversation. Then we'll go to Senator Esquivel.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, let's not read too much into the amendment or what we're trying to do. And as I've sort of waded through this process, I don't think any of you are much different than I am. I come from a community where I have very, very good friends that are on both sides of this issue. And I'm not talking about being ambivalent. I have some constituents who believe that we ought to void all relationships other than other man and a woman. And that's it. There should be. It's unnatural. It's improper. And I've got other constituents that say, look, live and let live. Leave us alone. And this bill, as it's migrated through the House, has had amendments here and there to really represent both views. And now we've arrived at pretty much the final language that this is likely to pass. And with respect to it, it seems to me that we don't know, we haven't decided yet, and I'm not sure that we will ever decide in this session or even the next year how we want to resolve the issue of civil unions. Because they exist in fact. We all know it. The relationships are out there, they've been created, and to ignore them is I was going to use that last one, but I'm not going to use it. But to ignore them is to ignore the obvious. And why would we want to ignore the obvious? I think one of the things that's characteristic about a marriage is that if you're married and you live in Wyoming and you make your wills in Wyoming and those sorts of things and you move to California, that may be a community property state, the day you go into California, your marriage, and you establish that as your domicile or your residence, those laws apply to you because of the marriage. I'm not sure if that's true for civil unions. I think if you go to another state and they say, here's a civil union, you come into our state, and here's the terms of a civil union, if those same people are in a Wyoming court, this Wyoming court's likely to go back to the state of origin and say, okay, what's the deal here? We've got to figure out how to unravel it. And all this language does is say, folks, we've been through the process, and we're going to take a stand that a marriage in Wyoming is simply is a relationship between one man and one woman. Having said that, what we're not saying is that you don't have the rights of the Constitution. And let me just read you two things that I think are just compelling. Article 1, Section 7. absolute, arbitrary power over the lives, liberty, and property of free men exists nowhere in a republic, not even the largest majority. These people are our neighbors, they're our friends, they're our brothers, sisters, and to suggest that they don't have the rights at least to access the courts. And our founders went to the very next clause and said, courts open to all suits against state. And Section 8 says, all courts shall be open. And all we've done here is said, look, folks, we're going to define these relationships. But we also are going to make sure that you have your constitutional rights and we recognize them. We're not going to figure out in this legislature what courts and what rules they're going to resolve your disputes or your rights. But we are going to make sure that you get to the courts because that's our Constitution. I urge your support.
Senator Esquivel.
I'll be brief and I beg your indulgence. I want to make a connection in regard to House Bill and Amendment. The difficulty that I have with this whole area that we're on is that it seems to me that it's going to provide a legal quicksand that I'm not sure when we'll ever be able to unravel. There's a legal quicksand that we've been involved in for a number of years, and I want to make the analogy in terms of relationships. But presently, there's a big group of people, Puerto Ricans, that are U.S. citizens, but they don't have the right to vote for the president. But yet, if that Puerto Rican goes to Afghanistan as a soldier, he can vote for the president. You know, and this is a legal quagmire that we've been trying to unravel for the last 100 years, I guess. And I kind of see this in the same situation, where a person is treated differently based on where they might live or where they don't live. And you know, I'd just like to throw that as an analogy in terms of the confusion and quagmire that we've gotten ourselves into in the past, and I suspect there's a good chance we might get ourselves into that quagmire again. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, rising on the amendment, if I recall and looking at my records, there's some problems with the amendment based on yesterday's amendment. Down at the bottom, for example, of this proposed amendment, lines 36 through 38, I think those have already been removed from the bill we're referring to, which leads me to wonder if the top of the page has the same issues. The first part of this amendment has the same issues, so I'm not sure if it's clear what we're voting on.
Senator Case.
To that point, Mr. President, this amendment is drafted by starting over. It, in essence, deletes the Meyer Amendment that was put on yesterday. Then it recreates through, and then it re-deletes it at the end. That is our drafting convention. And so I certainly would say that this amendment tracks.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President, for my second time. I have somewhat of a question for the sponsors of this. On line 28, it says, parties to domestic or other legal civil union lawfully entered into in another state, commonwealth, territory, district, or possession of the United States, or foreign nation, which are not recognized as marriage under the laws of Wyoming, shall be entitled to access to the courts of the state for the purpose of resolving disputes and whatnot. Mr. President, I'm kind of in a quandary because I know we don't have laws on the books for a civil union in Wyoming, but I do think that there's ways to have a domestic agreement in Wyoming. You can go to a lawyer and you can get your power of attorney and all that kind of stuff back and forth. So there's, in the state, you can put a contract together and take care of each other and be able to, you know, take your paperwork to the hospital and say, legally they say I can do this and all that kind of stuff. But with this amendment, Mr. President, I'm kind of wondering, what happens to that contract in the state? Because this says that the only ones that can go to court are the ones that come from another state. So I think maybe that was overlooked in the way it was put together, and now thus we're giving rights to somebody coming from out of the state with one of these contracts. But if a domestic contract was put together in the state, well, figure it out.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. On the amendment, having looked at this and read it and trying to reread it and talking to one of the sponsors, I guess that the question, I don't know in the end that this amendment does really anything. I think that all parties under our Constitution, as the good senator from Albany County read, are entitled to the court. And you know, as far as contracts, I mean, I've had contracts that were written and then had that even cited that it would be ruled under Wyoming law, and it went in the contract. It involved an individual in an employment situation in another state, and in Wyoming, we're able to have non-compete agreements. But in a good state in the southeast corner of Wyoming, they've said that those non-competition agreements for employees are against public policy. And so what they do is that those things simply aren't enforceable in that state under their law. And as the good senator from Albany County said, as you move from state to state, you have contracts that are affected by the laws of that state, no matter what they say, no matter what you put in them. And so when we do this, you know, I think to quote not an original thing with me, but someone recently has said that in looking at this amendment, it really is, we've done what we've done, but really not very mean. We still want you to have access to the court. And I don't know that the long story short is, Mr. President, I guess I'm ambivalent because I don't know that it does anything that anybody doesn't already have the right to do. And if somebody can explain to me what rights this grants or doesn't grant, that someone doesn't already have the right, I'd appreciate that. I am aware of the one instance that's gone through a district court in our state where a couple has had a marriage or a civil union in another state, and they've tried to have that dissolved here, and the district court has said we don't have that. That relationship here, I can't do anything for you in this particular court. Even with this amendment, I don't know how that changes that, because that if that relationship still is an illegal or existing relationship in Wyoming, I don't know how that changes that. I don't know that, and there are certain situations. It's nice to think, and maybe we sleep better at night, thinking that if we go to court, that the court can solve all of our problems, and the fact of the matter is, they can't. There are certain instances in your life where the court can't help you. But if someone can explain to me how this makes a difference, I'd appreciate it, because right now I'm at a bit of a loss. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Before I go back to the sponsors, one more opportunity here. Senator, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. I really wasn't going to speak on this, but there's been a number of legal questions that have been raised, and quite frankly, it's complicated. But I think we need to keep in mind what we're doing here today, and this is simply a statutory change. And it goes into Title 20. Now, I think part of the problem, in response to the senator from Natrona, part of the problem in the court case right now is that in Title 20 there's nothing. But if this amendment goes into Title 20, there would be an opportunity for that court to have justification under our statute as to what it may or may not do. What I have had trouble with throughout this debate and this bill is reconciling the Constitution, our current Constitution, with a statutory change. And I think the good senator from Albany County was absolutely correct in the portions of our Constitution which are out there right now. Now, you all know how I stand. I believe in the sanctity of marriage. This bill, with this amendment, we still uphold that. But we do provide access to resolve their disputes when there are other relationships outside the state. We have the problem about in-state versus out-of-state, but I think that's probably going to be a debate for another day. I think the sense is in the legislature, at least that I feel, is that in Wyoming, marriage is between a man and a woman. Now, there is also the legal principle of comity and or the principle with regard to full faith and credit. So I think the good senator from Albany County is absolutely correct. What does the court do? It looks to the law of the other state to see what that nature of that relationship was. But we at least afford them the opportunity to have their issues redressed in the state of Wyoming in a court. It doesn't necessarily raise it to marriage, but at least allows them access to our court. And that, to me, is a fundamental problem that this amendment, I think, solves.
Question. Would either the Senator Case, I think this is your second time.
It'll be the only time, Mr. President, but I do think the first time was kind of in relation to the amendment.
Go ahead.
Asking a specific question. That was a beautiful discussion by the majority floor leader, and I think that is right at the essence here, is that we're trying to use this amendment to reach out and give access and opportunity to some people that need it. And I support the amendment. But there is a problem, is it doesn't give it to everybody that needs it, because it makes a distinction between these group of folks that have this piece of paper that talks about civil or domestic, and it makes a different distinction when that piece of paper says marriage. So we have to pass this amendment, but we have to realize that while it helps, it doesn't fix the bill.
Would either sponsor like to conclude your argument here, or are you go with Senator Meyer, this is your second time.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment, as I said earlier, that parties to any issue, with the exception of specific issues in a domestic or civil relationship, which is governed by statutes of another state, I think have access to the court. If there's property issues or any other issue, everybody has equal access to the court now. If they do come into the court and we don't have the laws and the statutes on our books, then they have to look to the other states. Mr. President, this is going to be a very involved, complicated issue that at some point we may or may not take up in the future. And frankly, with the limited discussion that we've had here today, I think it's much better left until that future time. And I would. We have to be able to put enough time into it. And frankly, there just isn't enough time to do this in a way that I think that would resolve this issue to everyone's satisfaction, to where everybody has the opportunity to actually discuss what the people of Wyoming want to do.
Question being called.
Question.
Senator Driscoll, your final opportunity.
Chairman, members of the body, I'm going to start out with a little bit of a talk as far as I got a green book gave to me. And I got told it's what you follow. And I'm being told pretty steady about what's appropriate and what's not. I didn't see anything in the book that told me I can't bring third reading amendments. And that's really hard for us, guys. Followed the book. I've read it. There's nothing in there that tells me no. I'd appreciate a little coaching on the outside, but probably not on the floor. I'll kind of close with a deal that we're talking about analogies, about ducks and about other critters. There's also another saying that goes in the same, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And this bill tried to fix something that really wasn't broke. It was not broke. And we tried to fix something that wasn't broke. And in response, we're trying to bring an amendment fix something that tried to get fixed. This amendment comes close to at least making the thing palatable as far as what it lives at. Without it, I think you're going to really find that we've put a new face on the state of Wyoming. I'd encourage you to pass the amendment.
Question being called. Question before us is in regard to third reading amendment number 3, House Bill 74. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no.
No.
Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. All those opposed? Third reading amendment number 3 has passed the Senate. We are now back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Question being called on the bill. Let's go to Senator Case and then we'll go back to Senator Christensen. Go ahead, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise in opposition to this bill. Truly, we have taken a Wyoming law that is clear and says a marriage is between a man and a woman. We've taken that law and we have muddled everything. Because now we can't decide who has access to the courts. Because we have it now where if you come in with a piece of paper from a state way back east and that piece of paper says domestic partnership, civil union, well, no problem. You can at least follow through the amendment we just offered and go to the courts. But what does that mean? How's that going to be treated like? Well, we really don't have any idea how that's going to be treated because the courts have no guidance on how to do that. But at least they get to go in the door. If this other piece of paper grants the exact same relationship, but it's called something different, it's called marriage, and it's the same two people, and they come here, they get nothing. What about equal protection under the laws? What about that one? What about that we will not discriminate Article 1, Section 3 for any situation whatsoever. Have we done this and defended marriage in Wyoming? We haven't. Our law already provides it. Now, we're bringing this apparently because there's a divorce filed in Wyoming. We have no idea how the courts are going to handle that divorce, and this doesn't give them any guidance on how to do it. Not one iota bit of help. When a court gets a dispute, and yes, they will have access. People will be able to go, but they'll have to interpret what that means. And it's going to mean different things depending on the piece of paper that you happen to have brought. And yet, in the states that originated, the piece of papers mean the equivalent thing. All right. These are real issues. How this is defined grants real privileges and rights to different people. It's not just about whether you get to go visit somebody who's a friend of yours in the emergency room or not. It's literally decisions of life and death. It's literally the basic things. Now look, we bend over backwards to try to encourage the development of alternative economic activities in Wyoming. We are trying desperately to get a new data center in Wyoming. We've given a tax break. We want high-tech companies. We want educated people to bring their business here. And we're willing to do almost anything to get that. Except we kind of want to do that and have a big red badge on us that says, we want you here, we want to give you a tax break, but your employees and your executives and the people and families that work for your company aren't going to be treated the same as you were back home. We still protect marriage by killing this bill because our law is clear. Marriage is between a man and a woman. And if we kill this bill, we allow the development of fairness, equal protection with response to people that have entered into long-term commitments and relationships that come here and need redress. This bill, as it
as it exists now, does not achieve that. It is not equal protection for all.
On the bill, Senator Christensen.
Mr. President, Wyoming's current law is strong and clear that marriage is between a man and a woman. As it has been for many in Wyoming, this has been my position throughout my entire life. The existing law leaves no room for question that marriage is between a male and a female person. Wyoming does not allow gay marriage, period. Rather than leave it to a court to decide, I think the wisdom of Wyoming's clear marriage law is best. I take the conservative stance to keep our existing laws clear and not invite the court to determine our future.
Senator Hicks.
Mr. Chairman, just wanted to point out one fallacy by my good colleague from Fremont County that somehow would leave you with the idea that if we don't pass this, that somehow that we're unique and that we have a bullseye on us. And I would just point out to you that over 30 states in the United States have already passed this type of similar legislation. So quite frankly, we will be more consistent across the country by passing than if we don't. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Minority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, you know, we've had a lot of discussion around here, and I know that, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about constitutional issues. A good colleague from Albany County brought up one section that, you know, Article 1, Section 7, no absolute arbitrary power. I'm not going to repeat that because that is still prevalent for what we're in our discussions here. But even in Article 1, Section 2, equality of all, in the inherent right, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, all members of the human race are equal. You know, the phrase gets thrown around a lot about these people with the labels that we don't understand. They're different from us. So it all of a sudden makes them something to fear. I submit that these are, you know, these people, as they've been called, are part of the human race. They're our friends, neighbors, colleagues. They're in every part and essence of our life. You know, it seems to me that there are outsized entities that are trying to come into the equality state of Wyoming to dictate, you know, some of this bigotry or hatred kind of things for these people. It's simply that, you know, everyone should be entitled to the pursuit of to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Or even on our U.S. Constitution, Article 4, Section 1, full faith and credit shall be given in each state to the public acts, records, and judicial proceedings of every other state. Did the amendment correct some of that? Well, I'm not so sure. Article 4, Section 2. The citizens of each state shall be entitled to all privileges and immunities of citizens in every other state. Mr. President, you know, I have stated once before that we are legislators. Our duty is to protect the rights of the minorities from the majority. Our duty is to protect the rights of the minority. That is our job. Sometimes majorities can count the states, but sometimes majorities aren't right. And this is a bad bill, and I submit that we should vote it down.
Question. Senator Meyer.
I've been called a bigot and a homophobe on this email from a lot of different people. But until today, Mr. President, I just have to take exception with some of the quality of the debate that we've had on this floor today. I ask you to vote for this bill. It does clarify the law and does clarify the comedy issue.
Question being. Senator Rothfuss, this is your amendment, and so... we are on the bill, so.
On the bill. Thank you, Mr. President. You know, we have heard a lot of debate on this. But one of the points in the debate, Mr. President, that we haven't heard, which we asked on first reading and we asked on second reading of the sponsors and of the supporters of the bill, is how does this help Wyoming? How does this help the people of Wyoming? We keep hearing an email that we need to clarify something to close a loophole I think we've all gotten an awful lot of email about this, that we're trying to clarify the law. The reality is that this so-called closing of a loophole opens up so many legal problems that we're going to have to face in the months and years ahead if we leave this legislation in place, that it's going to make this one instance where there's the potential for a divorce and the court doesn't know how to handle it look simple. We're going to be finding ourselves in situations where we have a gay couple from another state come to Wyoming that's married and wants to figure out how to handle their Social Security benefits, how to handle their health insurance, how to handle inheritance or estate tax, how to handle pensions, family leave. There are innumerable areas of law where the contract of marriage, which is recognized in other states, needs to be recognized, Mr. President, in the state of Wyoming. Otherwise, the law breaks down. We've heard examples, of a couple that is married in another state that has a child that comes to the state of Wyoming and perhaps gets divorced in the other state, but one of the people is trying to flee payment of their responsibilities as a parent by coming to the state of Wyoming and saying, well, I can't have a marriage contract because that contract is void in the state of Wyoming. You know, this is a bill that is being claimed as a solution, but the reality, Mr. President, is that it's more of a problem than any solution it presents itself. Now, I know this group believes in small government, and I know this group believes in individual rights and freedom. But I'm not seeing that on this issue. I am not seeing that sense and that will. Because what I'm seeing here is the heavy hand of government once again saying this minority group is not equal. Going one step further to go against the constitutional freedoms that we have, that we've heard about in testimony in Article 1, that freedom to pursue happiness and the freedom of equality, and we're working against that once again. Our role as legislators is not to legislate morality. It is not to bring our religion into politics. Mr. President, our role is to have a good system of education, fix the roads. That's why people send us here. This is not our authority, Mr. President. And I don't think we belong here. I urge the body to vote against House Bill 74. And I can assure you, every no vote on House Bill 74 is going to feel good. Thank you, Mr. President.
Question being called. I do think it's time to vote. House Bill 74, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall a bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
Aye.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case? Christensen?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
No.
Emmerich?
No.
Esquivel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas? Nutting.
Aye.
Perkins.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Ross.
Aye.
Rothfuss.
No.
Schiffer.
No.
Scott.
No.
Von Flatern.
No.
President Anderson.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 16 ayes, 14 noes.
House Bill 74, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected of the Senate, House Bill 74 has passed the Senate. Senator Hicks.
Mr. President, if I may have the privilege of the floor.
You may.
I would like to introduce the members of the body here on the Senate to inform you that you're now in dangerous territory. We have the fifth grade class from the Snake River Rattlers from bags that are all perched above you. If you would stand and help me give them a warm welcome, I'd appreciate it.
In the last 2 days, we've had, what was it, cougars and, jaguars, and now we have rattlers, and Wyoming's a state of wildlife. So anyway, welcome, students. And we have one other bill on third reading we'll deal with this time, and House Bill 110, third reading of the bill.
House Bill 110, Successor Corporation Asbestos-Related Liability Act 2. An act relating to civil action, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
There are no amendments. Would anyone like to speak to House Bill 110? Senator Rothfuss?
Mr. President, for a very, very good change of pace, hopefully this will be brief. I just wanted to remind the body that this is a particular piece of legislation that doesn't do anything for the state of Wyoming. It's a piece of legislation that was brought forward by a corporation that is seeking immunity and basically a waiver of liability from here forward to protect the financial assets of that corporation. There's not a lot here for the state. So what we're trying to do with this piece of legislation, if it passes, is basically give a mulligan to a company in a free market situation where they made a bad mistake, a bad investment that admittedly wasn't a direct choice, but it was still an investment that they made many years ago that had negative consequences. And this body, if it votes yes on this, is going to go ahead and say, it's okay, we forgive you, everything will be just fine. And, Mr. President, I don't think that's how the free market works. I don't think that's how capitalism is supposed to go. Let's not bail this company out. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Senator Bebout.
Thank you, Mr. President, on and for the bill. This really does affect Wyoming people because there's a large company in our state that has a lot of Wyoming employees, and it certainly has a significant impact on them. What this does not do is remove any liability as a trigger date. That date is 1968. Anything that happens after 1968, there's still the opportunity for whatever kind of lawsuit or whatever kind of rights you may want to do or pursue in the courts. Before 68 is the only time we're talking about, and what this does is for those type of companies, and there's one that entered into an agreement, we still, in fact, allow them to have the opportunity to collect money for their particular legal challenges they may have, and that is determined by the factors in the bill that talk about a clause that allows it to go up into, I think, the amount of money they spent already is $650 million. So what we're doing here, ladies and gentlemen, is trying to help a local company in a situation that happened in 1968 or 65 when they had the merger. From 68 forward, everything's fine. Before 68, that's what we're talking about. I ask you to support the bill.
Go ahead, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, a question for these, I guess, proponent of the bill. If there is, in fact, only one company that is liable to this liability, How is this not special legislation?
Any other questions? We'll go to Senator Scott and then Senator Case first. Senator Scott, go ahead, please.
Mr. President, you look at the face of the bill. It's written generally. It's not written to apply to one corporation. We know of one. How many others are out there? We have no way of knowing. And if there is another one, this will apply. So, you know, we're dealing with a very difficult situation, a substance that was widely regarded as being very beneficial, was then discovered later to be a carcinogen. And that has all kinds of consequences that people have perfectly innocently walked into. And this bill is attempting to deal with it in a circumstance where we do know of one corporation. There may well be others we don't know of, and we have no way of knowing.
Senator Case.
Mr. President, with regard to the first point, I think my colleague from Natrona County made that very well. This is true. There's one company that fits into this class right now, but it's written generically, and we do this all the time. It's the way we do it, and there could be others. In regard to the principle here,
it's sort of the legislature's responsibility to be the final kind of figure out of complex issues. Sometimes we do it well, and sometimes we don't do it very well. This is a situation where these claims are incredibly old, like the amounts. There are millions of dollars that have been pursued in litigation, and it's very much over and done with. But this black cloud holds over a hangs over entities that employ people in Wyoming, and they do a good job. And it's not even their fault, and people have been compensated with respect to liability, and it is with respect to the legislature's purview to do this. Because while we can't cap, damages, we can limit the types of actions. That's our purview. We do it all the time. We do it with respect to the Recreation Safety Act, governmental immunity. We do it with respect to alcohol, the DRAM laws, we do it there. It's sort of an evolution, but there are hundreds of things that we do this for without capping the awards. Mr. President, this is limiting the type of action, consistent with what we've done in many areas. Yeah, it's not exactly pretty, but it sort of creates a resolution that is effective, solid, and is really forthright for a company employing people in Wyoming that had no involvement in this whatsoever.
Any other comment? Seeing none. House Bill 110. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Barnard?
No.
Bebout?
Aye.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Christensen?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
Dockstader?
Aye.
Driscoll?
Aye.
Amrick?
Aye.
Esquivel? Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
No.
Hicks?
Aye.
Pines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Martin?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Nutting?
Aye.
Perkins?
Aye.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross?
No.
Rothfuss?
No.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Anderson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 23 ayes, 7 noes.
House Bill 110, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, House Bill 110 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business for consideration of bills on general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. That motion has passed. Senator Driscoll.
The Committee of the Whole, please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House File number 127. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 127, School Finance Recalibration, sponsored by the School Finance Committee. It was referred to Committee Number 4, Education. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Barnard, Cole, Jennings, Landon, and Rothstuff. Senator Cole, Chairman. It was re-referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriation. Reports back with a favorable recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Hastert, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, Von Platern, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, I move when the Committee of the Whole rise and report it do so with a due pass recommendation on House Bill 127, after an extensive debate this morning, relax a little bit, this is for the kids. Actually, there is a standing committee amendment. I'd ask that it be read in at this time.
Will the clerk read the amendment, please?
House Bill 127, Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 2, line 8.
Hey, Mr. Chairman, I would move that amendment, and I'd like to defer till I get a chance to go through the bill, and then the good senator from Laramie will do the Standing Committee Amendment. Members of the Senate, House Bill 127, School Finance Recalibration. This is the bill that comes to you as a result of the Select Committee on School Finance working in the interim. I have to say that this committee worked incredibly hard. We started our work actually in April, and we had two-day meetings every month till December. It carries forward a new cost basis established by consultants based upon research and practice. And the recalibration process, for those that don't know, is a process that we go through every 5 years as a directive from the Supreme Court. In this process, there are four members on the floor that were part of this process in the interim. Mr. President, the Chairman of Appropriations, myself, and the good Senator from Gillette. Basically, we had, I think, really incredible discussions, and I think we bring to you for your consideration a well-thought-out bill. This bill does, in fact, as I said before, work in conjunction with Senate File 70, the accountability bill. These were the two key issues that we addressed in the interim. Basically, what the bill does, and I'll try to get you through it as quick as I can. I know that we had a lengthy debate, and I know we're trying to work a lot of bills today before we take 3 days off. First part of the bill I'm going to draw your attention to is page 3, lines 23 to 24. This is where the Department of Education and the Professional Teaching Standards Board work together to streamline teacher quality data efforts from the recalibration work into a single data repository. Now, we've already had a discussion about this. I have to emphasize to the body that as we go through accountability in education, we go through recalibration, we have to have good data. You'll see that it's in various spots in the bill, page 3, lines 23 through 24. You'll see reference to that, page 4, lines 1 through 3. Page 7, lines 11 through 16. And in section 4 at the back of the bill on pages 28 and 29. There also is a $350,000 appropriation for support for acquiring this data, and I can't emphasize enough how important the data is as we go through school finance. If you go to page 4, 5, and 7, you'll see where the block grant is now made available electronically from the Department of Education. This has been a concern from some of the districts that, in fact, they could not access the block grant electronically. Reading assessment and intervention changes were a key part of what we got into. This is in response to a Management Audit Committee report from last year. We want to measure reading for students in grades K-3 rather than only grades 1 and 2. Now, we do know that from a reading perspective, third grade is of key importance. If a student is not reading proficiently in third grade, it makes it difficult to move forward and be proficient at it. So we did increase that to K-3 from grades 1 and 2. The Department of Education, remember, approves reading assessment instruments for consistency across the state in reporting longitudinal data. Once again, we're talking about data coming back. Into some of the House amendments. The House amendment on page 9, you'll see, talks about the reading assessment amendment. It reinserts the 85% goal of being proficient in reading. That used to be 100%. They came back with a more realistic approach, probably at 85%. This provides an attainable goal for school districts for students on individual reading plans. And that's what this tries to do. On page 10 in the House amendment, you'll see where they clarify what the Reading Improvement Plan report must contain at a minimum. Student-teacher ratios, use of tutors, and instructional facilitators. Now, on to student-teacher ratios. This was an area in the House where they brought a rather significant amendment to us, and you'll see in our standing committee amendment a proposed change to that when it's presented. Their amendment imposed specified student-teacher ratios for grades K-3 of 16 to 1. They do in their amendment provide for waivers by the State Board of Education. School configurations for funding is based off prior year configuration. I emphasize that. Select committee didn't adopt Department of Education school configuration guidelines. You'll see this on page 13, line 22, page 14, line 6 through 7. The salaries have been adopted into law or those that have been adjusted by the external cost adjustment in prior years. You'll see this on page 15, lines 18 through 19. We did have a significant discussion in the interim about salaries as they're driven by the external cost adjustment. And I can tell you 82% of these block grants that go to districts is salaries. Probably will consider out there somewhere the external cost adjustment being directed to components rather than to the whole block grant. The assessment component on page 18 will not be adjusted any further by the external cost adjustment. Implements a monitoring process effective through the next model recalibration. This is in subsection U on pages 18 through 21. In this monitoring process, the Joint Education Committee receives a series of component monitoring reports providing information on model cost-based levels versus model funding levels. Based on these reports, the Joint Education Association reports any need for adjustment to the Joint Appropriations Committee when establishing an ECA. JAC develops ECA recommendations to the legislature and has the ability to target adjustment by component when deemed necessary. Now, this is an important part of what we talked about in the interim. Like I said before, this external cost adjustment goes across the board. Conceivably, we should direct portions of that to different components. Another House amendment on page 20, lines 11 through 16, prohibiting expenditures, prohibits school districts spending block grant funds on student drug testing if districts do not have prior approval of the student's parents. That was one of the three amendments that we looked at, and the next one you're going to see is on transportation. That House amendment's on page 21, lines 6 through 24, and page 22, lines 1 through 3. What that amendment does, as you well know, we reimburse transportation at 100% back to districts right now. Transportation reimbursements are equal to 100% of prior year reimbursements. If the current year expenditures are less than reimbursement, otherwise, reimbursement is equal to 50% of the difference between prior year reimbursement and current expenditures. So if you spend $100 on transportation this year, the next year you spend $150 on transportation, you're only entitled to $125 of that. So it cuts everything back by 50%. Getting on to page 22, lines 8 through 12, and page 24, lines 6 through 10, this has to do with the retirement reimbursement for special education and transportation. You'll see that when you get into that part of it. Instructional facilitators are funded this is on page 25, lines 12 through 13. This is where we say that instructional facilitators funded at a percentage basis of 60% rather than a dollar amount to keep the number of instructional facilitators positions predictable to school districts. Now, remember that instructional facilitators are funded outside the model. Moving on, I'm trying to get through this quickly. Section 3, That carries out the monitoring process that LSO will do during the interim. Section 5, beginning on page 29, the model is forwarded into legislation through Attachment A. Now, you'll see Attachment A in the back, and if you look at Attachment A, that's the different components of the funding model. The Select Committee took care of minor technical corrections and adopted Section A with little or no impact. However, the House amendments come in and go into certain parts of Attachment A. In the maintenance and operations part, their amendment allows new schools to have their approved gross square footage used as a factor in calculating routine maintenance and operations funding. Currently, new schools have to wait 2 years to do that, to have their gross square footage put into the model because of the timing of when the School Facilities Commission calculates the allowable gross square footage for major maintenance. So this is a major change. You'll see that on page 35. Under the utilities component, they adopted the consultant recommendations to base funding off of actual 2009-10 expenditures. But they come in, they add new schools after the 2009-10 school year on a district expenditure per gross square footage basis. Currently, districts are only funded off an ECA-adjusted amount from the 2004-2005 actual expenditures. This is on page 36, lines 18 through 29. Now, the other adjustment is the small district adjustment. And for those that are familiar with and talk a lot about small schools, what we do here, and I think this brings in, rather than just the three smallest schools, which would be Claremont, Metisi, and Tinsley, brings in two or three other schools. We replace the small district size cutoff from 147 to 243. This is on page 36, line 40. The rationale behind that, behind the 147 number for a small school or a small district adjustment, was that this was equal to three small schools, 49 or less. So if you take 3 times 49, you get 147. The rationale behind the 243 number is grades K through 5, 6 grades, multiplied by the model class size of 16. 6 times 16 gives you 96. Plus grades 6 through 12, 7 grades, multiplied by the model class size of 21, that's 7 times 21 is 147. That's where you get to 243. So this adjustment provides a minimum of one core teacher for each grade in which a school is enrolled, plus appropriate specialist teachers. Members of the Senate, that's the bill. Quickly, it's a big bill, 30-plus pages. A lot of work went into it in the interim. A lot of work's gone into it since it's come down here. At this point in time, I would ask that the Senator Raffes explain the standing committee amendment.
Senator Raffes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fortunately, it's much less complex than a lot of the other amendments that we've had, Mr. Chairman, on education bills, so I'll walk you through it. There's effectively three different points, one of which is simply a technical correction. In the beginning of the amendment, page 2, line 8, is again simply a technical correction based on the new language. Looking at page 9, line 19, what we had in the language as originally drafted was that each district, this is looking at line 18 and 19 now, each district shall annually report to the Department of Education on the progress towards reaching the goal of 85%, and it was unclear whether that was a district-wide report or a school-specific report on whether the schools were achieving that 85%. So to clarify, the Standing Committee went in and added the language that you see in the amendment so that it reads, each district shall annually report to the Department of Education on the progress of each of its schools toward reaching the goal of 85%. The language on page 10, the amendment, page 10, line 6, simply strikes district on line 6 and replaces it with school, so that, again, we get that clarification about schools not meeting the 85% goal specified for the improvement plan as opposed to the district-wide. So, again, this is simply a clarification where we're making sure that when the reporting is done, Mr. Chairman, it's done on a school-by-school basis as opposed to a district-wide basis. The next part of the amendment, which we can see on page 12, line 17, addressed a concern that we had in testimony, and as the senator from Park County noted, the good chairman, there was some discussion and some new language here where we're looking at this 16-to-1 ratio for the target from K through 3, which is known to be a particularly important figure, is that student-to-teacher ratio. But there was a lot of testimony about how to calculate that 16-to-1 ratio because we were shown a lot of exceptions in the committee on how, when looked at strictly on a class-by-class basis, that could lead to a substantial increase in necessary teachers when you have a situation, for example, where you've got a small school that has a class of 17 children in kindergarten. As a result of those types of concerns and the additional teachers, we tried to clarify this through this amendment, as you can see, by inserting a little bit of language on lines 17 and 18, which leads to it reading as, the district shall provide evidence to the state superintendent that the district maintains an average student-teacher ratio of not greater than 16-to-1 for, and in the new language, the aggregate of all classes in kindergarten through grade 3 in the district. So that helps to avoid this problem where you have a difficulty where you might have small classes. But if we're aggregating over the entire K through 3 within the district, Mr. Chairman, it's going to be easier to meet that need without having to add a substantial number of additional teachers. It basically keeps that target in place but allows the math to work out a lot more easily for smaller school districts. And then the final aspect of the Standing Committee Amendment number 1, Mr. Chairman, is simply a language cleanup. It looks like the most significant part because there's a lot of language written there, but the intent of the particular amendment that you see here is on line 28 of the amendment, which is simply to add that "and" at the end because the language was wrong without it, Mr. Chairman. That's the amendment. I'd certainly urge a favorable look at the amendment and hope can just go right to the question and adopt it because mostly it's cleanup and clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Question have been called for. All those in favor of Senator Coe's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment number 1 to House Bill 127, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Motion is passed. Senator Coe.
Mr. Chairman, there is a second amendment. I'd ask that be read in at this time.
Reading clerk, please read the amendment.
House Bill 127, Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to engross copy, page 3, line 23.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 127. Folks, the Senate Appropriations Committee took a look at really detailed the request for positions and the information technology portion of this. We brought in the testimony of the PTSB Board, Department of Education, the state CIO, and a variety of people, and want to make sure that we're trying to get some integration in the data management that needs to be done. You've heard a little bit of discussion already about the PTSB issues and the need to get that data integrated through the Department of Employment and all the way, the Department of Education and all the way to the LSO. So what we've asked is this. We changed the first language that came out of summer work to require that in consultation, this would be the requirement of the state superintendent, in consultation with the office, the chief information officer will develop the repository, establish criteria and guidelines for the collection, storage, management, and reporting of related data from teacher certification and the administration of the school finance system. So we'll get the CIO involved, make sure that we're developing systems that everyone can use. The balance of the amendment deals with the issue of the number of employees. The bill originally provided for two brand new employees to do some of this transitional work. We weren't convinced that we need to have full-time employees for or full-time positions that were not at will. What we think all we needed was some time-limited positions. So we, but we provide for one at-will time-limited position and one full-time position. And we, instead of providing new funding, we've gone into two sources of funding. In one instance, we have money that's left over from the recalibration effort. And the second issue, we have money that was provided to PTSB, which is not, they assured us that they had the resources to fund this at-will position. So we're creating the two positions, funding them with existing funds. I urge your support of the amendment.
All those in favor of Senator Nicholas's motion to adopt the Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 127, please say aye.
Aye.
The motion is passed. Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd stand for questions. We do have some Committee of the Whole amendments. It might be appropriate to deal with those at this time.
Will the reading clerk read the amendments?
House Bill 127, Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to engross copy, page 1, line 5.
Senator Ron Platter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move Committee of the Whole Number 1 to House Bill 127 and would be glad to explain it to the body. You go on page 1, line 5, and delete and modifying in page 2, line 8. Delete, including the first Senate Standing Committee amendment to this line, and insert the new statute 2113. Page 2, line 9, clean up by deleting F. And then the substantial part of this, or really the whole amendment, resides on page 20, lines 23 and 24. You delete those lines, which presently are under the transportation aspect. And this is where the House amended the bill. You go to page 21, lines 1 through 24, you delete that. This is where the House said, if it takes $100 to run your buses last year, here's your $100. But next year it takes you $110, or this year it takes you $110, next year we're only going to give you $105. We're going to withhold 50% of any increases in your transportation budget. Now, I applaud them for trying to put a handle or a stop or a ceiling on this transportation cost. We pay 100% reimbursement. And this is a hard subject to solve, because by taking that $5 back, we're only going to give you $105. We know you spent $110. We give them a block grant, folks. That other $5, should they need it, we have no control over where they take it from. And that's not my biggest fear, either that they reach into the classroom and take that other $5. I mean, they have that; they're entitled to it. But what really makes this not work for next year, the year after that, is if anybody adds a school. What are you going to do about the sudden increase in transportation to take care of a new school? You're only going to get 50% of what it takes to do that school? What if you add a subdivision in this county that's 2 miles down the road further than they've done before? You're only going to get 50% of the funding to take care of that new subdivision. What if your ADM increases by 10 or 15%? You only get 50% of what it takes to take care of that new ADM. By deleting this, what this amendment does, by deleting out that language, it puts it back to what we do now, and somebody needs to come up with a better solution on how to put a cap on this transportation cost. It's 100% reimbursement. I've actually sat down with my district and gone through contract busing. How about that? Why don't we contract it out, get a solid price right up front? Well, there's a lot of problems with it. I'm really hoping somebody can go forward with it. It'll take quite a larger district to probably make it profitable for a contractor, but that might be a solution. There may be other solutions. I don't know how quite to do it. School of choice is another problem that allows for a lot of extra, what I believe to be extra expenditures, because we bus kids across the town and right by each other. But what this amendment does is put it back to the old language till somebody comes up with a better solution instead of just taking this wild guess at let's cut 50% out of any increase. So I ask for your support on this amendment.
Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, rising on and for this amendment, you know, we've got a lot different district than the good senator from Campbell County. We've got a lot of rural areas out there, and there's times when you may have a ranch 30, 40, 50 miles out in the boondocks, and there's no kids out there this year. An employee quits, and you hire a family that has two, three, or four kids, and they've got to be bused. Well, that's a new expense, so that district might have a 60 or 70-mile bus trip to get those kids to school. Well, the current statute, as the House amended it, that's really not going to take into account that extra cost, and that's going to have to be eaten by the district. Now, if they're going to eat it by the district, and the good senator from Gillette, Campbell County, was right, that's going to come out of someplace. More likely than not, you're going to affect education, and you're going to have unequal education across the districts. So there's probably a better way to skin this cat, but maybe we'll have to refer to a trapper or a hunter to get that job done. I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll rat out my own district. I've heard him say a number of times, don't worry about the cost of busing. It's 100% reimbursed. It's not real money. When it leaves here, it's real money. If this isn't the way to do it, the way the other chamber did it, certainly isn't the way to do it with this amendment by making it go back. This discussion needs to be had, and the way it is in the bill probably gets that discussion started.
Senator Coe.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I actually do support the amendment, and I'm going to give you some examples of why. And a good example is right here where we are right now. There's a new high school here, South High School. We're getting ready in Casper right now to spend projections $87 to $90 million for renovation of the two existing high schools, plus build a new one. There's two examples. Now, if you look at the ADM enrollment in the state of Wyoming, since I believe 05 and 06, we've gone up from roughly 82,000 ADM to close to 88 today. We are seeing some growth in enrollment. We are building a lot of new schools. Up in Gillette, there's a tremendous shortage of schools. We're trying to build a bunch of new schools up there to ease that overload. 2 years ago, the Joint Education Committee did, in fact, take this up as a study topic, along with special education. The two items reimbursed at 100%. We actually went through the whole procedure, listened and listened and listened, and couldn't find a lot of abuse out there in transportation. Brought no recommendations back to this legislature. So I think this is a good amendment. I'm sure the House is going to want to talk about this. That's fine. We'll go down and talk with them. But I urge that you adopt this amendment.
Senator Perkins.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, you know, I don't doubt that there's not all that much abuse, but there's a significant difference between abuse and efficiency. And, you know, there may be some problems with this, but ultimately, at some point, somehow, any household, any government agency, anybody anywhere in this government has to deal with increasing fuel prices and changes in dynamics. And yet we have budgets. And in the end, somehow you've got to make it work within a budget. And if it ends up being incredibly inequitable, I would hope that we would come back and we would fix that. But at some point, at some place, somebody's got to have some skin in the game on this thing in order to make sure it runs efficiently, not just that we avoid abuse, but it's got to be more efficient. Thank you.
Question has been called for. All those in favor of Senator Glenn Flattern's motion to adopt the Committee of the Whole Amendment number 1 to House Bill 127, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division having been called for. All of those in favor, please rise. Those opposed, please rise. The motion to adopt Standing Committee of the Whole Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 127 has passed. Senator Majority Floor Leader.
Ross. Mr. Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole beg to rise and imbibe.
Mr. President. You've heard the motion. All in favor? Motion carried. Thank you. We'll just leave it here.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, that clears the desk.
I stand in recess until 1:30.
Any announcements? Seeing none, you've heard the motion. The motion being that we stand at recess until 1:30. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? That motion is carried. We are at recess until 1:30.